This is Talk Radio 560 KSFO. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We learned today how depleted the U.S. military really is. We knew Obama was going to gut the military. He's already conducted a war on police. The graves are filled with dead policemen as a result of the celebration of the gangs and thugs in the streets. Well, he's not yet finished destroying the greatest military on earth. And along comes the one man who says he will reverse this. Of course, Hillary's not going to reverse this. She's going to make it even worse. By the time she gets through with the military, it'd be lucky if they have three destroyers and one aircraft carrier. Be lucky if we have 300-400 fighter planes that can still fight. But if Trump comes along, he's going to rebuild the military, and we're going to talk about what he says he's going to do. I'm also going to talk about a topic that's not in the news, and that is the death penalty. You know why it's a topic I'm going to talk about? You're not going to believe this, because California voters are facing two capital punishment choices on the November ballot. You know what those choices are? End the death penalty or speed the way for execution. How do you like that? And do you know that people on death row are not all in favor of ending the death penalty? Some want the execution speeded up. Some of them are on death row for over 32 years. Some of them want it over with. And so there's a vote coming up in California of, should we end the death penalty or should we speed up executions? I'm going to ask you your opinion on that on the Savage Nation today, because no one's been talking about these social issues for a long while now. All we hear about is white privilege and that life matter, but not your life doesn't matter. But there are some fundamental issues that are worth talking about. One is the death penalty. What do you think? Should we end the death penalty or speed up executions? While you're thinking about that and calling the Savage Nation at 855-472-82, I have an announcement to make, and it's a good one. My new book, Scorched Earth, is now number one in politics on Amazon Books. That's right. You made it number one already in politics on Amazon because you pre-ordered the book to send the message to Washington and elsewhere. You went and ordered it and then sent an email of the order to scorchedearthbook@gmail.com, and you got a free MP3 of Donald Trump's 2011 interview with me. So thank you for doing that. Remember, Tuesday, the Savage Army has to go to work. Mark your calendars. I have nobody else. I got to tell you something about that. I'll tell it to you now. Why wait for it? As I'm enjoying my espresso with a little sliver of lemon peel. A la the West Village of New York. I never knew why the old men did it, but now I understand why the old men did it. There's something about a high dose of caffeine before a radio show, and then another dose at the beginning of the radio show. I got to tell you, caffeine is wonderful. Which is why the psycho-liberals, like Bloomberg, are after caffeine and soda. They like to put you on medication. See, that's a whole other story. Why do you think the billionaire Marxists want you off soda and off caffeine? Because they're usually sitting on the boards of pharmaceutical companies that sell medical drugs instead of simple things such as caffeine. But I'll do a health show maybe in November after the election. Trump gave specifics today on how he's going to rebuild the military. It's important you listen to this on the Savage Nation. It's clip number 32 right now.
We will build a Marine Corps based on 36 battalions, which the Heritage Foundation notes is the minimum needed to deal with major contingencies. Right now, we only have 23. We will build a Navy of 350 surface ships and submarines, as recommended by the bipartisan National Defense Panel. we right now only have 276 ships, and it's not enough. And we will build an air force of at least 1,200 fighter aircraft, which the Heritage Foundation again has shown to be needed to execute current missions. We now have 1,113. Not enough. We will also seek to develop a state-of-the-art missile defense system.
All right. You have a real choice coming up. A choice I made a long time ago because I knew the choice. I knew what it was. And I made a decision early on. I read things pretty quickly. I don't have to cogitate for 8 years to decide what's what. Now, the fact of the matter is, Trump will rebuild the military. He'll rebuild this nation. And if she wins, the opposite will be true. She'll continue what Obama has started, which is to destroy the military and to destroy everything of value to traditional Americans. It's that simple. I don't have to make it more flowery than it is. We know who she is. We know what she stands for. Have you seen the aides around her? Have you taken a look at them? Do you know what they look like? They're your worst nightmare. That's what they look like. That's who they are. That's who wants to rule over you. So today, I look at the news on the Drudge Report where I start every day. I just do. That's what I do. Headlines are very clear. Everyone does. Anyone in the business does. And I see something that I predicted. Russian fighter comes within 10 feet of U.S. Navy plane. I said, oh, God, no. Okay, then I look and I say, wait a minute, are you kidding me? That happened already. Page 194 of the Prescient Scorched Earth, I write this. Of course, we don't know what might happen tomorrow. My gravest fear is that there'll be an accidental dogfight between Russia and the United States in the Middle East or elsewhere, like when their fighters buzzed our Navy in April 2016. A shootdown in these circumstances would be a nightmare for all of us. The way to avoid that is for Barry Obama to actually pay attention to the papers that cross his desk every morning instead of planning his next visit to the golf course. Now, that's only the beginning of what I had to say or have to say in Scorched Earth. I then write this, and you got to pay attention to this. Tell me if I'm wrong. Let's get down to brass tacks. What are we going to do about the situation, survival of the fittest? There was a time in Great Britain when Neville Chamberlain, a quisling leader, was in power right after Germany invaded Poland. Do you remember what he said before that invasion? Chamberlain came back from a meeting with Hitler and said that he had in his hand an agreement guaranteeing that England and Germany would never go to war again. He guaranteed peace for our time, hip hip hooray. The very next day, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia, and the citizens of Great Britain realized that Chamberlain was a suicidal conservative who was going to destroy England. They needed a war leader. His own party voted him out. They replaced him with the great nationalist Winston Churchill. Do you remember the movie The Godfather? Tom Hagen says, Mike, why am I out? Michael Corleone says to him, you're not a wartime consigliere. Things may get tough with the move we're trying. You're out, Tom. Do you people not understand that sometimes art imitates life and teaches us lessons? Neville Chamberlain was not a wartime consigliere. Germany was on the move. Hitler was invading. Hitler had built up his military, even though they said he couldn't. And this weakling, this good-natured weakling, the pacifist, socialist, intellectual, came back with an agreement that he couldn't wipe his nose with as far as Hitler was concerned. So his own party got rid of that quisling English leader. That's the benefit of a parliamentary system. We don't have such a system here. But somewhere deep within the controlling elements of this government are those who actually run things. God only knows who they are. I could probably give you a short list of those who I think are really running things, but I'm not completely sure who they are. But even they, at a certain point, recognize that a nation can be destroyed from within, and they've gone too far by putting this maniac in the White House. The maniac has broken free of their controls, just as others in history have done, others who were first put into power by more powerful people before going rogue on them. It happened in Germany. It's not a direct comparison, but if you remember the history of Hitler, if you read about him, he didn't come to power on his own or in a vacuum. very powerful industrialists backed them in the beginning. The Krupps, for example, who had been bankrupted after World War One, they were the main armaments manufacturer. They backed Hitler because they knew he'd be good for business. Dwight D. Eisenhower told us to beware the government military industrial complex. Remember? The same elements are present here in America. There are certain people who wanted Obama in office. Remember them? George Soros, John Kerry, Ted Kennedy when he was alive. They figured they could always control him. And now he's gotten so crazy that he's gone off the reservation. And I go into much more detail here, asking this key question. Can his own party remove Barry now that he's gone rogue? Because he's getting more brazen by the day. He's gone way beyond anything he ever dreamed he would ever be able to do to transform America. Everyone has a list of dreams. This guy has gone so far beyond everything he ever thought he could get away with that he's continuing down the path of such national destruction that it's now bordering on national suicide. I think even the Hillary camp may see that. And I've got to tell you something. It's all in scorched earth in this important chapter. Now, before I take the next step to show you a little bit more about the rogue president and where he's gone, he was in Laos yesterday, where he attacked America, calling us lazy. Listen to clip number 05.
I believe that the United States is and can be a great force for good in the world, but because we're such a big country, we haven't always had to know about other parts of the world. You know, if you are in Laos, you need to know about Thailand and China and Cambodia because you're a small country and they're right next door and you need to know who they are. If you're in the United States, sometimes you can feel lazy and think, you know, we're so big, we don't have to really know anything about other people.
I'm an expert on voice recognition technology in my brain. I don't know if you wanted to reanalyze what that man just said and listen to the tones of his voice, you hear a different Obama come up. He speaks in a more baritone tone when he says, you can feel lazy. I'll leave that to the psychiatrists in the future to analyze the madness of King Barry. But I will say this. The military must be rebuilt. Trump will rebuild it. Hillary will not rebuild it. Hillary will continue to feminize and homosexualize every branch of the military. She will do it under the guise of fairness and equality. And more real combat veterans will leave, more and more real men will leave, more and more warriors will leave, and we will be gutted, unable to defend ourselves. I'll never forget that when I began in radio in 1994, I was quoted by the Contra Costa Times here in the San Francisco Bay Area for a statement that I had made. They were shocked that I even made it into radio when I was on KSFO, but I said, what I see coming is America will continue to exist, but a weakened America will emerge unless we stop this downfall. We will become like Portugal, which was once a world power and now has hardly any military whatsoever and certainly no presence around the world. They laughed at me. They said, Portugal? Where's he coming from, that guy, Michael Savage? Well, I'll tell you more about it right here on the Savage Nation.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFR.
Your last headline. You live and die by your last sentence. You live and die by your last mistake. You live and die in this world that we live in the media. It's not walking on a tightrope. You are the tightrope. You know what I'm saying? It's a Zen thing. It's not walking a tightrope. You are the tightrope. You get it? And I'll talk about that again in November, not now. That's too philosophical even for me. I have to think about what I just said. I have to catch up with my own brain sometime. Because the wellspring is very deep. We don't know where the wellspring comes from, do we? All we are is this little bundle of protoplasm. Nerves, muscles, veins, arteries, organs, bones. What is it? 100, 200 pounds of it? 250? A little speck of protoplasm marching around the planet. But inside this protoplasmic speck, there's this vast universe of ideas. This vast thing called a spirit that is dying in the United States of America because we have a spiritless vampire and spiritless vampires around him. Literally, having invaded the body politic and the psyche of the nation, decimating everything they touch under the guise of fairness. Fairness, fairness. Watch out for the man who comes preaching fairness. Make sure your gun is loaded. Because I guarantee you he'll have two guns in his back pocket. Well, my friends, here we are. We're on the cusp, as they say. Let's go to the callers. Mike on line 8, KSFO, fire away. 30 seconds or less. What's on your mind?
Yes, the billions and billions and billions of dollars that Donald Trump wants to upgrade the military for, I don't know, I don't know where he's going to get it from, but I'll tell you what. I think that the upgrade, he's going way overboard, especially with the Star Wars program.
Well, hold on. You raise a very good point, and it's the main point is how will he pay for the rebuilding of the military? Can we agree that's a good point to discuss for a minute?
Sure.
Here's the answer. I'm glad you're cynical or skeptical. Let's put it that way. I like skeptics. I wrote a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist in 1983. Believe me, I'm very skeptical. So how will Trump pay for rebuilding the military when so much money will be needed? It's simple. You do the reverse of what this band of Merry Jesters has just done. You shrink social programs and you give it back to the military where they took it from. That's a starter, isn't it?
I think they're going lopsided.
Do you know how much money is spent on social programs like teaching children in college about a fake thing called white privilege? Do you know how much money is spent on these vile anti-American programs across this country? Do you know how much garbage money is spent on diversity training? Do you know how many billions of dollars are wasted by corporations that have to subject their workers to this trash, this propaganda by the radical left? Billions of dollars can be saved by eliminating these vile left-wing programs and given to the rebuilding of the military.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Can you imagine having your chest swell with pride and tears come to your eyes at a July 4th parade? Can you imagine loving America again and being not ashamed to be an American, waving the flag and crushing anyone who wants to burn or step on the flag? Can you imagine living in a nation that's proud again? I can. Yesterday we talked about Obama floating balloons to steal an election. I laid out the entire scenario. I played sound bites of the great genius Jay Johnson of DHS saying that our election process is like the power grid and his department should claim control over securing the election. That was the head of Department of Homeland Security, something you would have heard in Uruguay in the 1950s. This band of gangsters is planning to declare the election null and void if Trump should win. They don't want an outsider winning. Remember that. And today we read James Carville, the alligator man. Remember him? Half alligator, half man. Came from somewhere in the bayou country. Carville, remember him? The man who looks like he was bred between an alligator and a human being? Well, he goes on the government media complex outlet, More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks, and he says it's possible to rig voting machines. And he says, the election's rigged. It will be an attack on the country. See, he's part of the program I'm laying out. They're setting up a propaganda program. Now they got the alligator man. They dug him up from the bottom of the bayou, cleaned him up, dusted him off, gave him a new suit and tie. And he says, oh, my God, watch out, because the election's going to be rigged. And that's a fundamental attack on the country itself. Last week, Jay Johnson said the same thing. Fundamental attack on the country itself. So get ready to hear this now from all the Democrat socialist slime that slither onto your screens and into your ears. And then get prepared for Homeland Security Director who should have been fired for failing us. Let us see it. Let me count the ways. Jay Johnson failed us in Orlando. How many hundreds died when he failed us, Jay? Wait a minute. San Bernardino, when another Muslim went mad and committed jihad according to his holy book. How many died there, Jay? You failed us there. Let me count the ways. This man wants to handle the voting? Are you joking? So they're getting ready to do that. I'm going to read the topics that I really laid out. I don't know that I'm going to get to them today. That was one of them. We talked about that yesterday. You want to see the rest of them for today that I pulled out for today from early in the morning? What does Daesh mean? We hear it all the time. We know that Obama won't use the acronym ISIS. He changed it to ISIL. Now they change it to Daesh. Why are they doing that? The Prime Minister of Canada, the ballet dancer, the left-wing ballet dancer who cannot get enough Muslims in his soup, has declared that no one in the Canadian government will ever use the word Islamic State again in his government because it's offensive to Muslims and it has nothing to do with Islam. That's such rubbish, it's beyond belief. Even Muslim scholars disagree with these left-wing fanatics who are bending over backwards to distort history itself and reality. We're going to talk again about where death row inmates stand. End the death penalty or speed up executions. A lot of you are calling on that, and I want to talk about it. I have strong feelings on the death penalty, and I'll tell it to you right now. Give me a minute, okay. Another headline. New York Post. Texas newspaper endorses first Democrat for president in 75 years. That's the Dallas Morning News on Wednesday morning endorsed Hillary Clinton for the first time since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I thought Dallas was a conservative area, but when you see the Dallas Morning News, what does that mean? Who owns it is the question. Do they represent Dallas? I'm on the station in Dallas called KLIF. It's a very conservative city, isn't it, Robert? No. Liberal or conservative? He's shaking his head. He's in Dallas. My guys are in Dallas on the other side of the Skype screen. Is it a liberal or conservative town? It's conservative. They're out there against Trump. They want Hillary Clinton. They're very much like the Weekly Standard and the others at the National Review. Breitbart says Canadian government will no longer call Islamic State by its name. Okay? That's what you get from a ballet dancer. Ash Carter, you know him, pink tie, MIT professor, so-called defense secretary whose first job was to make sure that there would be surgery for transgender individuals and put them ahead of all of the vets dying in hospitals. Today the moron comes out and says Russia has a clear ambition to erode the world order. What world order? That of Obama? The world order in Obama's head only? We'll talk about that. How to be a white ally poster say all white people are racist. This is what's going on at colleges today. New students at Pomona College were welcomed to campus with posters in their dorms giving instructions on how to be a better white ally and stating that all white people are racist. Now, of course, you know that the non-whites who wrote this should be thrown off the campus. They're like the Ku Klux Klan in reverse. The signs state white people should acknowledge your privilege and apologize if you've offended someone. If you say the word riot, that's racially coded. And they say everyone is a problem who is white, and even the most educated and well-intentioned people will screw up, the poster states. Whoever wrote this on the campus is a racist through and through, a brainwashed, militant racist of color who should be thrown off the campus. They are the Ku Klux Klan, period. Can you imagine if the Ku Klux Klan put that out about black people or Hispanic people, what would happen to them? Here's another one for those of you who love immigration and multiculturalism. Are you ready for this in Southern California? School warns parents that some students might have leprosy. You heard me. Leprosy, the dreaded Middle Ages disease. The dreaded Middle Ages disease is now back. Now, why do you suppose leprosy has arrived on our shores? Because of open borders. Michael Savage, in the 80s, tried to publish a book called Immigrants and Epidemics. I'd already had 6-7 good books out in the health field. Not one publisher in New York would touch Immigrants and Epidemics. Was I right or was I wrong? Of course I was right. My grandfather came here. He had to go through Ellis Island. What sane nation on earth lets a diseased individual in unless your name is Barack Obama and you want to disease the nation? What sane president would do this? None. By definition, he's insane. I want to repeat that again. What sane government would permit diseased individuals to swarm across a border? The answer is none. So by definition, this is an insane government. They belong in a mental hospital. So now we have leprosy in Southern California, came in with the sacred immigrants that Obama can't get enough of. You know, anything for a vote. Anything for a vote. This guy is so sick, the damage will be forever. School warns parents that some students might have leprosy. Now, of course, the individuals who let this happen are the people in charge of HHS, more particularly those running the NIH and the Centers for Disease Control. When Donald Trump becomes president, I will personally lobby for trials against the head of the CDC and the NIH for permitting diseases to enter this nation that could have been prevented. I will personally lobby Donald Trump to hold trials, congressional trials, for these two men. They have names, they did it. They have a job, they failed us. They know what's going on. They've opened the door to diseased individuals from Honduras with Zika. Now we have a Zika epidemic. It didn't have to come here. I told you last winter when I published Diseases Without Borders, and I did so for the betterment of mankind. It was a small ebook. I said that we could stop Zika in its tracks if we stop people coming in from Zika-infected nations. What happened instead? What did that man at the NIH say? What did that other man at the CDC say? Nothing. In other words, they failed us. They became the equivalent of government stooges. I wrote about the Lysenko affair in my last book, Government Zero. And those of you who know anything about biology know a little bit about the Lysenko affair in the Soviet Union. He was a crackpot geneticist who worked for Joseph Stalin, the Hitlerian, or I should say the Stalinist dictator of Russia. He was Stalinist because he was Stalin. And he wanted to prove that the government knew more about growing food, knew more about agriculture than did the farmers. And so first he started by smearing the farmers. He gave them a bad name. You know, like today they're using white privilege. The gangsters of color have created a catchword called white privilege. They're trying to make sure all whites are first tar-brushed and shamed. Well, the dictator Stalin did it by calling farmers who were producing food for the Russians kulaks, which was a derogatory phrase to basically say they were profiteers. How dare they grow crops and then charge for the crops and make a small profit? He called them profiteers. He had them arrested. After he shamed them, he had them arrested. Then he had the government take over the farms, which resulted in a famine that led to the death of 30 million Russians. What you see going on in America today is very similar. The shaming of white people is a step toward the annihilation of white people. You don't understand this because you don't see as far as I do. I am Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts. I stand atop the highest mast in the media empire. I am higher than anyone in the media in what I can see coming. And I am telling you right now, these Nazi fascists, I don't care what color they are, have to be stopped. And the only way to stop them is never elect the coughing hag. Never! Just the coughing hag will put them in positions of power. But I don't want to get distracted with anger right now. Anger doesn't get me where I want to go. Many of you love when I get angry. You say, oh, that's the old savage back. But no, that's the old savage. The current savage is a little different than the old savage. I don't have to scream and yell to get your attention. I can use pure logic and reach more people. I don't need that. When you begin in radio, you have to scream and yell. As someone once told me when they were building a radio station, it was very funny. I'll never forget it. He said, you hire people in the beginning who are like clowns outside of a jack-in-the-box who stand with horns and balloons on themselves honking the horn to get them into the hamburger stand. But then after the business is established, you get rid of the clowns. And I remember that he fired some guys in the beginning of running the radio station who were very obnoxious, horrible. But they got attention. He got rid of them after 3 months. So I learned very, very often early on in this business, you don't have to be a clown and make a fool of yourself and scream and yell in order to have a radio show. You can use facts, my dear friend. And believe me, the facts themselves are revolting enough when it comes down to what's being done to this great nation. So those are some of the other topics that I, Michael Savage, plan on covering today. I got up to leprosy being brought in by the illegal aliens. Oh, here's one I missed. Two more. U.S.-trained sniper, now Minister of War for ISIS. Oh, really? Thanks, Barry. Oh, here's another one. Exclusive photos. Clinton Foundation board member appeared naked in Playboy and has a fake online PhD. A member of the Clinton Foundation's board of directors appeared nude in the April 1979 issue of Playboy mag and has a PhD, so-called, from a distance learning, you know what that is, for-profit college, with exactly zero actual classrooms. Her name, Cheryl Saban, S-A-B-A-N. Who is she? Her husband is the single largest donor to the Democrat Party. That's right. That's who she is. She got a great degree from California Coast University. Try to use that if you want a job. See how far it gets you. The only job you can get with a PhD from California Coast University, apparently, is to become a board member of the Clintong Foundation. So who else is on the board? Well, there's Chelsea Clinton and Bill Clinton. I think that's the board. And a few other people. So those are some of the other topics, but I know you want to talk about the death penalty, whether we should end it or speed up the executions. My opinion? Speed them up, Jack. Jack them up, Jack. Get old Sparky ready, Jack. Run that electrical grid, Jack. Get those generators running, Jack. Let me tell you something. Back in the 1950s when I was a boy, my mother could walk to the corner grocery store for a loaf of bread at 11 o'clock at night without fear of being mugged or molested. Today, you wouldn't even drive to a store at 11 o'clock at night in New York City. You'd be afraid to go out because of the wildings who have been let loose in the streets by the, let us say, the tolerant folk who have one excuse after another for these maniacs. It doesn't matter if they urinate in the mailbox. That's considered their lifestyle. Doesn't matter what they do. That's part of their lifestyle. That's because they had an oppressed childhood. Well, that's not the way it was in the nation that I grew up in. We had tough cops that looked like Sterling Hayden in The Godfather. That if you looked at them the wrong way, they'd take you behind a building and break your jaw. And let me tell you something, the streets were a lot safer, my friends. So, where do you think I stand on the death penalty? Eliminate it or speed it up? Figure it out. I'll be back. So there's a ballot initiative coming up in California of whether to end the death penalty itself or speed up executions. And some of those on death row want the executions speeded up. They want it over with. They've been on for 34 years after killing six people. I want to talk about that. Here's another article. Cal State LA offers segregated housing for black students. Someone sent that to me. California State LA offers segregated housing for black students. And the individual wrote how far we've come. My answer was, fascism comes in all colors. Now let's go to the callers. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Mark, what's the topic? What's your opinion? Fire away.
Dr. Savage, first, it's an honor to speak with you, sir. I'm a recovering federal prosecutor, and my wife is still a federal prosecutor. And my take on the subject of capital punishment is speed it up. You know, when they talk about don't make a federal case out of it, it's because it takes so much to bring a federal case. You know, I mean, they don't take Billy, the one-year law graduate, and hand him a murder trial. These are the senior people in every office. Doesn't matter if it's state.
But why is it, do you think, that the mentally deranged progs fight like heck to eliminate the death penalty, but fight like heck to execute the unborn?
I have no idea. It seems like
why do they assume that an unborn child is guilty while a man who slaughtered six is innocent? What's wrong with them? Answer, liberalism is a mental disorder. They should all be locked up in a mental hospital. I think one of the things Trump needs to consider is reopening mental hospitals in every city and state in America and conducting examinations, federal examinations of all liberals in government, seeing what medications they may be on, and if they're declared, let's say, unfit for service, lock them up for 3-4 years and fix their minds. Joking.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Terrible, terrible version. What's it, from Schmeck Tube? I mean, where did it come from? What's the good of playing a song if you can't hear the words? It's from Schmendrick Tube. Instead of YouTube, we got it from Schmendrick Tube, which is cheaper, I guess. So we were going to play Metallica's song, Ride the Lightning. The lyrics are pretty clever. It's about a guy in the electric chair. where he says, guilty as charged, but damn it, it ain't right. There's something, someone else controlling me, death in the air, strapped in the electric chair, this can't be happening to me. And we're talking about the death penalty. Because I open up the L.A. Times website this morning, and I see, where do death row inmates stand? End the death penalty or speed up executions? Here, and they talk about a guy named Scott Pinholster. And he's on death row. He's one of only a dozen inmates out of 747 California condemned who have exhausted their legal appeals. In his words, he's ready to go. Now, I want to know why, if a man has stabbed to death two men 34 years ago, and he's had liberal slime build careers on defending him. You know, there are low-life lawyers who can't get a job anywhere else. They work for the state. They take on a death row inmate for their entire 30-year career. Did you know anything about this? They file one appeal after another. That's their entire career. You don't know anything about it. You ask about where the money's going to come from to rebuild the military? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We can find it, believe me. Put me in charge of a little accounting. So they say, he says, if they start up executions, I'll be in line, but it doesn't matter. The 57-year-old said in a drawl, barely audible through the glass door of a solitary confinement cell, his neck and chest are burly as when he was first locked up, but the thick black handlebar mustache is now salt and pepper. His bunk, cleared of bedding to double as a desk, was stacked with ink drawings done in painstaking detail. He says, after 30 years, you don't care one way or the other. And we're talking about San Quentin, which, by the way, is a stone's throw away from one of my studios. I actually look at it in puzzlement almost every day on a bicycle ride. I think about what goes on in there. And they house a new and never-used execution chamber, but no one gets executed. That's because of the psychos with the law degrees who say that they're against the death penalty and that we don't want to kill anybody. These are the same people who say we should kill the unborn without a blink of an eye. Kill them by the millions. They don't care. Innocent babies never born. They kill them. They don't give a darn. Women, men, kill them all. But those who killed, murdered, maimed, raped, committed the most horrific crimes you can imagine, they'll kill to defend them. And it's interesting to me, these are the same people, by the way, who don't really want a war against ISIS. No, they don't really want, they want ISIS to stay alive, because although they don't agree with ISIS, quote, necessarily, they understand them. They understand those who bury people up to their necks and then kill them, or let's say throw people into cages and bury them alive, whatever. They understand them. They don't agree with it, of course. So how can you let people like this run a country? What do you have? The head of the snake is nuts. His name is Obama. But Trump plans to update and upgrade the military. I wonder what he's... I don't know where he stands on the death penalty. Well, I'll refer to my source for almost all questions to do with life and death. It was written a long time ago. No, it's not for sale. I didn't write it. It's not available on Amazon. It's the Holy Scriptures. And it's the original Jewish Bible, the five books of Moses. I go back to the basics. I don't read the Talmud. I don't read the any. So I only read the Torah. I'm very much like the Africans in Somalia. You know much about them, the Jews of Africa? Oh, that's a whole separate story. How they were all rescued in 1949 by the Israelis who... You know that they told, for centuries, the Ethiopians, rather, not Somalia, pardon me, the Ethiopian Jews who had been driven out of ancient Palestine... In the Babylonian times, I believe, some of them fled to Africa and they landed in what is now Ethiopia. And they practiced a primitive form of Judaism for centuries. And they had a myth amongst their people that one day God would send a giant winged eagle to rescue them from this exodus, from this exile, rather. Well, after Israel was founded, a few years after, the young Israeli government sent the giant eagle, giant transport planes to Ethiopia and lifted up the entire African-Ethiopian black community and brought them to Israel to rescue them from the persecution that they were facing. And of course, today they're fully integrated into Israeli society. You would not see that on MSNBC. You would not see all of the black Jewish black Israelis in the military or in other aspects of Israeli life, because that violates the protocols of the elders of MSNBC. So I go back, like the Ethiopians, they only read the five books of Moses. They only read the five books of Moses, the Ethiopians. That was their Bible. I find it to be pretty sufficient. There's so many thousands of things. But where does the Old Testament stand on the death penalty? It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear, man. It's eye for an eye stuff. Tooth for a tooth. They didn't mess around, those guys. They didn't have too much nuance. You came in and you raped a woman? Forget about what they would do to you. You molested a child? I don't think you'd live another second if they got their hands on you. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What does that mean? Well, you figure out what it means. Anyway, the point is they're pretty clear on punishment in the old world. And in that sense, they have less crime, much less crime, to be honest with you. And I certainly don't believe everything in Exodus. I mean, you can't. If we live by those laws, none of us would get through a day without committing some sin punishable by death. It's so phenomenal what they did over a mule, an ox, this, money lending, a false report. Thou shalt not utter a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. That's an interesting one. Can you imagine lawyers being forced to read this passage in the Bible before they got a law degree? Thou shalt not utter a false report. It'd be the end of the legal profession. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. If thou see the ass of him that I... Look, this sounds pornographic to those of you who don't know we're talking about mule-like creatures. We're not talking about San Francisco. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under its burden... Of course, they'll twist that into something perverse here. Thou shalt forbear to pass by him. Thou shalt surely release it with him. It's an interesting thing. But they're into the death penalty. They didn't like the golden calf. And they were into punishment, crime and punishment. Now, this is related to the election because Hillary's not into crime and punishment. The only crimes to her are those who oppose multiculturalism and those who oppose her agenda. Those are the criminals. They're on her hit list. And if you think you're safe if she wins, you're mistaken. There will be a sort of purge that you've never seen in America if she wins. And millions of us know this. A purge like you cannot imagine. If not outright physical disappearances, there will be disappearances from websites, from publications, and from the airwaves. I can guarantee it as sure as I sit here. So if you love a dictatorship and you don't like freedom of speech and freedom of the press, hey, you got a clear choice here. And you don't have to read the Spanish-English dictionary to know what that choice is. So again, I'm getting distracted here, as I usually do. It's not really distraction. It's called intelligence. Those with monodimensional minds consider it distracting to run three or four ideas at once. But if I don't run three, four tracks at once, it's, to me, a stale finale, to be honest. So there we are. Those are some of the topics we're going to talk about. Death penalty and rebuilding the military and things of that nature. I need some of that L.A. music right now to pump me back up. The coffee ready for an hour and 15 minutes. If I take another one, I'll be ready for the Psycho Awards. How many milligrams in an espresso? Probably a 300, 250, 203 milligrams of caf. I think that's it for the day. I don't get the shakes from caffeine. I don't know if I want to talk about the death penalty. It's too depressing. I mean, the truth is, I'll let you make the calls on it. I'm ready to move on already. I think by asking the question for over an hour, I've answered it, and you've come up with your own answer. But we've got such good callers on the topic, I can't now let them, you know, go. I mean, they've been waiting a long time from around the country. WABC, Lee, Line 8, go ahead, fire away. Topic, please.
Hi, Michael. It's Lee, and... You know, I could talk real quick about, you know, the death penalty and move right on to building a strong military. Look, these people that are committing these crimes, you know, if it warrants the death penalty, they got to put them to death, move on. You know, I think if there were the, you know, kids in Chicago that would see some of these death, you know, penalties, taking place, maybe they would be, you know, killing people the way they are in Chicago and the streets over there. There's no value for...
So you feel that because there is no deterrent, they will do anything, knowing they're never going to pay for it.
That's exactly right. And there's no value for life, Michael. There's no value. It's easy to kill somebody, move on, kill somebody else. It's like nothing I've ever seen before, ever. It's just, you know, incomprehensible.
Well, there's a reason for it. It's the despiritualization of America, the death of God, the things of that nature. And there are no fathers at home, there are no mothers. And then you have these beings. I wouldn't even call them people most of them. They're not like human beings. I mean, I don't think you're automatically a human being because you're born, by the way. I think you have to become a human being. And I think that requires some work on the part of parents and a society. Many of these people are extras on life stage, if you get the drift of things. And yet we spend so much time and money listening to them and worrying about them and thinking about them and going to Nat Geo and seeing them with kerchiefs on, boasting about how they rob cars and deal drugs, and no one in the country can do anything about it. I never saw anything like this. The glorification of the subhuman is at a new fever pitch in America today.
It's generous.
I use the phrase subhuman. It's a loaded statement. I understand it comes from the German Untermensch. It was used by Hitler. People are afraid of it. But I want you to tell me what you think of a person who will kill, maim, murder, shoot women, shoot children, blow up houses, stuff like that. Are they human beings?
Of course not. Of course not. You know,
no, they are not human beings. And that's why Trump is right when he says he will annihilate ISIS within 60 days. Within 60 days of taking office, he'll wipe them off the planet. He knows that they have ceased being members of the human family. He outlined fixing our military. Immediately after taking office, Trump will ask the generals to present a plan within 30 days to defeat and destroy ISIS. Can you believe this? New budget to rebuild our military as soon as he assumes office. We'll build an active army of around 540,000 as the Army's chief of staff has said he needs. Build a Marine Corps based on 36 battalions, which the Heritage Foundation notes is the minimum number that we need right now. We are so depleted. Build a Navy approaching 350 surface ships and submarines as recommended by the bipartisan National Defense Panel. Do you know what a threat this is to the Barbara Streisands and Woody Allens of the world who live in this safe nation thinking that they have their safety because they're such nice liberals? They don't understand what could happen tomorrow, that the world is on the brink of a war because of this psychopathic weakling maniac in the White House. Now, I'm sending you a copy of Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. Do you know, Lee, that it's now number one in politics on Amazon, and it's not even published yet? It'll be out next Tuesday. Look for the ads on the Drudge Report, and look for all the articles you're going to see about it in WorldNet Daily, my only friends in the media. That's it. I mean, I honest to God, you want to hear something funny? I'll give you a little inside story. You know how I say I'm an outsider? Guess what? I'm an outsider. I wear it with pride. It's a badge of honor to me. Week before publication, normally authors have bookings everywhere. Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, you know, all the reliable sources of independent thinking. I have no bookings whatsoever. None. Nobody will have me on this show. One person maybe, or two. I'm very proud of it. It shows that I really am an outsider. You'd think that after Roger Ailes left, the boycott would have been lifted? No. The same blacklist exists at Fox News that existed before Roger Ailes left. I don't even know what he had against me. I defended him. I defended Murdoch in my books, but I guess they don't read my books, which is rather ironic because years ago, I got to go into this, very funny. It's a side note. I'm running late again. But I'm loquacious, and my loquaciousness is out of control, as usual, because I feel good. If I feel good, I can talk. And clearly, succinctly, intelligently, I don't want to stop, Robert. I'm sorry. You'll have to run ads right over my voice. But I wrote a book years ago called Trickle Down Tyranny. Many of you raise your hand if you have it in your library, right? And you know you want to add Government Zero and then, or Scorched Earth to it. In the book, Trickle Down Tyranny, I have a whole chapter on the war between Murdoch and Soros, the Soros Murdoch media war. It's an amazing story that no one picked up on except my readers and my buyers. And it's about how Soros was using a strategy which he used in Europe called cordon sanitaire, where he would tie off people and destroy them, basically, through the media. And how Murdoch was the only thing we had left between us and this maniac Soros. And what's ironic, and this is what I was getting at, Murdoch doesn't even know me. He owns the company that published that book, HarperCollins, and he didn't even know me. He doesn't know I defended him. Had he only known that he has a genius ally in Michael Savage, why then the boycott against me that was imposed by God knows who at Fox might never have happened. But then again, things are strange in this world. I don't know how they work. I don't know who's against me, but I know this. It's only my audience that I care about.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Death penalty, crime and punishment, that's the topic. Because on the November ballot in California, we have a broken capital punishment system that will be finally decided. Prop 62 would convert death sentences to life without parole. Prop 66 would set time limits on appeals, limit challenges to execution methods, and allow the state to house condemned men outside of San Quentin. If both measures pass, the one with more votes would become law. I'm for the other one, 66. I say speed them up, get it over with. They've exhausted their appeals. They have to pay the penalty. If you knew what liberals have done to the prison system, you'd recognize that being a prison guard is one of the toughest jobs in the world. Wait till you hear what they've done to the prisons in this state.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
I think you know that this part of the world means a lot to me because I lived in Indonesia as a boy. And my sister is half Indonesian. She was born there. She married a man whose parents were from Malaysia. My mother worked in Southeast Asia for most of her life, working with women in villages to try to help them get more money through selling handicrafts and developing small businesses. So as I drive around here, it's very familiar to me. It reminds me of my childhood.
You know, he would have been a great director of the Peace Corps. I think of him. He's not a total loss as a human being. You put a guy like that in charge of the Peace Corps, you know, a college idealist who knows nothing about... You'd think after 8 years he'd stop giving these stupid college speeches glorifying the Third World. They don't want to sell handicrafts. They want a refrigerator and running water, you idiot. You know, if you've actually lived in the Third World, you know how horrible it really is. I remember in the 60s, I was a young anthropologist in villages in Fiji, while it was still a colony, where you had to go to the bathroom in a hole in the ground. That was not very pleasant. It may be very natural. But most of the people I was with didn't like that very much. They really couldn't wait to get back to Suva and a hotel to use a shower and an actual toilet. They didn't like making in a hole in the ground. Nor did most of the Fijians once running water came into the village and the sewage system. But Obama's glorifying the handicraft era. So, my friends, nothing changes. They don't learn. Meanwhile, here in America, you're not going to believe this story, why Trump is surging. Caterpillar hires H-1B foreign graduates, fires 300 American professionals, Breitbart, Neil Munro. Caterpillar is firing 300 American employees in Mooresville, Illinois, even though it is continuing to recruit and pay foreign H-1B guest workers to do the white-collar jobs sought by American professionals in the United States. Caterpillar's combination of white-collar layoffs and H-1B outsourcing matches the much-criticized decision by Carrier, a company in Nextdoor, Indiana, to outsource 1,400 blue-collar factory jobs to Mexico. Now, Trump has vigorously denounced the outsourcing by Carrier's air conditioning business. And his opposition to this outsourcing has helped him get a 9-point polling advantage in the state. Can you believe what we're looking at here? Now Caterpillar comes along, a great American company, run by, I don't know who runs these companies anymore, and they're firing American workers to hire H-1B guest workers who work for half the price. Is that right? Now, many of you are purists who think that you're smart by saying, well, I'm a free market person, and I believe that the lowest possible wage is the right thing for a company. Then you're wrong. That's 100% wrong. That's the same distorted thinking of petty intellectuals who've never worked for minimum wage as I have, who don't understand what the minimum wage actually is. You've got petty intellectuals who've never, ever gotten their hands dirty, never worked in an ice cream factory, never worked as a lifeguard, never worked as a busboy, never swept floors. I've done it all. And let me tell you something. No one can live on the minimum wage. You need 2-3 jobs to live on the minimum wage. That, to me, is a really important topic. That's number one. And for these diehard petty intellectuals to keep talking about the minimum wage as something ungracious for individuals, that you should be able to squeeze people at the bottom until they bleed, is sickening to me. Well, these are the same people who would probably argue that H-1B visas are great because it increases the bottom line of Carrier and, of course, Caterpillar. Well, these are human beings being fired to bring in people from India. God bless India. God bless Indian workers. They're wonderful. They're great people. They bring a great work ethic and a great culture. But you know what? We have out-of-work Americans who need those jobs. They all have to go home. Anyone, I told you this, anyone on H-1Bs should be given 90 days to leave the country, and the entire H-1B visa program should be eliminated in America. Now, that, of course, would hurt Mark Zuckerberg. His fortune might drop from, I don't know what, $58 billion? So who knows, he might have to struggle along on $48 billion after that happened. If Mark Zuckerberg actually had to pay American workers a fair wage instead of people from India an unfair wage, he might have to suffer through with $48 billion a year. You know, and that's a stress him. And that would be a big stress on Bill Gates, too. He might have to buy a few million less sweaters if he had to pay a fair wage. And, of course, you don't want to mention the sacred Google guys. Can you imagine what they might have to do if they paid a fair wage or if they were broken up under antitrust legislation when Donald Trump becomes president and he actually enacts the law and enforces the law against monopolies? Can you imagine which companies might have to be broken up? Google today is bigger than Standard Oil was at its peak. Teddy Roosevelt came along and his main campaign as a populist was bust the trust. Did you know that? There are still crocheted little things on walls that people say from those days when the motto across America was bust the trusts, meaning the conglomerates, the big corporations that took over the oil business, took over coal, took over the railroads, and they crushed all the small competitors. We have the same today in telecommunications. We have the same today in the internet companies, the same today in information technology. They're bigger than Standard Oil was when they were broken up into smaller companies in order to allow small companies to emerge, and we need to do the same in America. Now, what does that make me politically? Try to define what I just said politically. I'm in favor of breaking up big companies that have become monopolies and have crushed all competition, preventing smaller businesses from emerging. Go try to compete with Google. Go try to compete with Amazon. Go try to compete with Microsoft. Go try to compete with Oracle. See what happens. You can't get anywhere. That's called a monopoly. And so it's time to consider using the laws, the antitrust laws that are on the books. What I just said to you, if you agree with me and you want to remember it, is in... Where is it? It's simple. It's in my tome, my opus, Scorched Earth, where I write it's going to happen again. The housing bubble was built upon a house of cards and fraud, I write. That's not a revelation. What the investors and bankers did was to change the name of the game from CDOs to the newly invented BTOs, bespoke tranche opportunities, which is just Wall Street language. What does it mean? It means the same thing CDOs meant. The traders are back at it again, which is why I'm warning you that the same thing is going to happen again. Whatever goes up must come down, and that includes the stock market, home values, and the price of crude oil, and every other commodity people hold dear. How many little Madoffs are out there right now running scams on you? I'll answer my own question. This is page 261 of Scorched Earth. I'll answer my own question. All the millennials who graduated from college in the last decade think they're smarter than the manipulators and frauds who came before them. They're not. They're educated but stupid and greedy and entitled. So what makes you think it won't happen again? Read about it all. Read all about it in Scorched Earth. Now number one in politics on Amazon. Period. End of story. So here we go, my friends. The death penalty. Businesses firing workers to bring in workers for less money on their H-1Bs. There's more to the stories than meet the eye. But it all boils down to the election, doesn't it? Who could actually fix this? Well, let's look at the H-1B story. Do you think Hillary would fire H-1B workers and stop them from pouring into lower corporate profits? Or do you think Trump might do that? Trump said he will do it. Trump has campaigned on that issue. Trump has said he has denounced the outsourcing by carriers' air conditioning business. And as a result, he has a 9-point polling advantage in that state where Carrier has fired 1,400 blue-collar factory jobs. Now, let's look at the other side. The Democrat, Hillary, who supposedly represents the little guy, will continue the influx, the invasion of workers from India and other countries to lower wages in order to fatten the pockets of the contributors to the Clinton Foundation and other cronies. She will continue the bleeding of jobs, factory jobs in particular, to Mexico, and the melting down of our infrastructure, our manufacturing infrastructure. I don't know how anyone who is a worker and identifies as a blue-collar American can't see this as clearly as I do. I don't understand it. So now another story from Real Life 101. Last night I went to a little Italian restaurant in a suburban neighborhood. I don't have to name it. I'm not looking for a free meatball. I insist. I never take anything for free, by the way. Ask anyone in the business. I try never to accept even a drink. I say, no, I'm not allowed to. I won't do it. I don't wear a Hawaiian shirt. Look for a freebie on the arm. It doesn't do anything for me. In the beginning, everyone does that. If they're on a local station, they like a free meatball or a free this. I don't need a free meatball. I'm proud to say I like to pay for my food. So I go to this restaurant, which I won't name because I don't have to. And the owner's a really nice Italian guy who built it up from nothing. He has 2-3 restaurants. He had nothing. He came over and told me a whole story about his life, how he had lost everything after a divorce. His wife wiped him out. Not only did he lose everything, she took the house, she took the kids. He had nothing. He was with nothing. An Italian immigrant. And he came to an empty storefront, and he scraped together some money with some friends, and he opened the restaurants. Fabulous food. Now he has 2 restaurants. Works very hard. The point is, the man told me another American story, like the one I told you last week about the man from India, who has now 6 restaurants, who told me he listened to the Savage Nation. Every day he drove his children to Branson. He would listen to the show in the afternoons on KSFO. He said, they grew up on you. He said it to me with tears in his eyes, the Indian guy. He said, Michael, only in this country could a man like me come here with nothing. And after hard work, 30 years in this country, I have 6 restaurants. And my son is studying to become a neurosurgeon at Yale. It's a beautiful story. Those are the immigrants this country needs. Not the Zika-infested parasites. Do you understand the difference? This is not about being against people of color or against multiculturalism. This is about being for productive citizens of any color. Do you get that? I hope you finally understand what I'm saying to you. So to get back to the Italian guy, he tells me, Michael, do you understand why if Trump would only come out and talk about immigrants and saying that he won't deport those who are working here, he will absolutely surge amongst the Hispanics? I said, I know what you're saying. I said, because last week I said a very similar thing. I said, you cannot deport 30 million people. You don't deport people who are here working. What you do is you deport first those who are here illegally, who are in prison. It's in my book, Scorched Earth. There are one-third of all prisoners are illegal aliens. You start by deporting those who are incarcerated. You get the buses rolling south. You roll them around the clock. You hear those buses churning all night long. Deport, 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 deport. And you deport the criminals who are in jail, the hard ones. You get them out of the country. Then you cut off all the welfare benefits to those who are here, who may be working but are getting benefits for their families that they don't deserve. I'm sorry, you cut them off. How do you think they can send $24 billion a year over back to Mexico from America alone via Western Union and other sources unless it's because they're not paying taxes? They're paying nothing. Zero. So they can send it back to Mexico. I can't worry about what will happen to Mexico's economy. I'm worried about my economy, where Goofball keeps printing money and traversing the world. The peripatetic Obama travels the world, Mr. Goofball, and gives dumb speeches, and they spit on him wherever he goes now. It's uglier than when Nixon was spit upon in South America. If you actually saw what they did to him in China, you wouldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. First, the Philippine president calls him a son of a you-know-what. That's A. And threatens to wrestle in the mud with him. That's how much he respects him. And then number 2, the Chinese, they know how to really give it to you good. They've been around a little while, you know. They've been around a little while, the Chinese government. They know how to do it pretty good, man. Are they into protocol? So Goofus arrives in China for the G8 summit, All other world leaders get the staircase and the red carpet. Goofus gets no staircase because Chinese think so highly of him. And Amanda Shmendrick, standing on Air Force One, doesn't know how to get off the plane. He has to escape through the belly of the plane, through a gangway, and no one's looking at him when he comes off the plane. But he bops down, man. He's still cool. He's bopping down those steps. The hands are up, and he's smiling, and no one's looking at him. Why did the Chinese do that to him? Why didn't they do it to the leaders of the other nations at the G8 summit? There's a reason for it, and it's not because he's being tough on China. It's because he's a weakling and a schmendrick, and they know it. They despise him. They also know that he's a lame duck president. And what they're saying is, you know what, Johnny, take a walk. We know you have no power, so don't come here and give us your bellowing voice and make believe you can boss us around. Then he has some pushy broad, using a phrase I would use around my friends, some pushy woman working for him, a real big one. You know the type that pushes you around at work? You know the big mouths all across the American landscape who've been empowered by these psychopathic so-called progressives? She gets off the plane and she has an argument with a Chinese official on the ground in China about press being allowed to interview him underneath the wing of the plane. And she says, this is my land here under this plane. The Chinese guy basically starts, they got in a pushing match. She thought she was back at Harvard. She thought she was back at Georgetown where she could push men around. And I guess she saw a short guy with, you know, a short guy of color with black hair. She thought she could really bully him around, but he didn't take it. He stood up to this woman. Well, that's, my friends, what you get with a Prague government. They practiced a scorched earth policy around the world. Do you understand now what I mean by restoring America after Obama? Hey, look, let me tell you something about my book. I know it's going to be a bestseller. I'm not desperate about it. I know that every one of my readers is going to buy it to add it to their collection. And I made a promise to you, it is my last major political book. If I am alive next year, which is, of course, up to God, not up to me, I'm not doing another political book. I won't do them anymore. First of all, the election will be over. I want nothing more to say about it. I'll have the talk show. That'll be enough. I'm going in another direction entirely. You'll be quite surprised to see what that is when you see me on camera January 2nd, 2017, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Now here's a little side note here from the Daily American Mirror. Photo. Barack Obama sheds wedding ring in Laos. Uh-oh. The First Lady's not with him. As President Obama was speaking to young leaders in Laos today, one thing was noticeably missing, his wedding ring. Look at this still image from his town hall meeting earlier today. Well, okay, let it go. Ring was off his finger long before he stepped on the course. And First Lady Michelle is not on the President's trip to Southeast Asia. See, she's scheduled to appear with a rapper on Thursday to honor... I don't know, to honor what? How could you honor anyone as a rapper? I don't understand it. But look, these are strange times. We have weird people in the White House, so they'll honor rappers instead of nuclear physicists. You know what I'm saying? Another president would have had nuclear physicists in the White House. But he has rappers in the White House. Shows you where their brains are at. You know what I'm saying? So forget the wedding ring. It don't matter.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
But as I said to you yesterday, not so jokingly, walking down a mountain is harder than walking up a mountain. I mean, your thighs feel it, right? So don't assume that because my pace slows down a bit in the hour that you're about to hear, my mind slows down with it. It doesn't, nor does my interest level. Now, we're going to talk about the death penalty again, as well as the upcoming debate between Hillary and Donald Trump. It's sort of a debate tonight. First time ever. Commander-in-Chief Forum run by liberals. Why they let it happen again, I'll never know. But nevertheless, I want to talk about the death penalty, because in California, there's two measures on the November ballot. One would convert death sentences to life without parole, meaning it would eliminate the death penalty. That's 62. 66, which I favor, would set time limits on death row appeals, limit challenges to execution methods, and allow the state to house condemned men outside San Quentin. Now, the last time California voters went to the polls on capital punishment, that was in 2012, Prop 34. Death row tensions ran so high, the entire population was placed on suicide watch. You hear this? You're not going to believe what I'm going to read to you. They're actually bringing in psychs to address the mental health needs of the condemned during the November election. You hear this? Vets are dying in the halls of VA hospitals under the psycho-liberals who have destroyed this country. But they're worried about the mental health needs of murderers on death row. You hear this? At San Quentin, we read, the danger is real. In 2010, a despondent condemned man hung himself 5 days after a judge converted his death sentence to life. Oh, what a shame. In other words, he did to himself what should have been done 30 years before, I guess. Well, that put a few liberal lawyers out of work. Suddenly, they needed a real job. So they found one giving out little sausages at various and sundry places like Costco, where you get the free sausage. They're former lawyers for death row inmates, apparently. The fact of the matter is there's only been 13 executions since 1978. None since 2006. Why? Because the psychos on the left have said that it's inhumane. And they came up with another one, that the cocktail used to execute people was a cruel and unusual punishment. It gets even worse. The prisons in California are so out of control because in 2015, the Obama federal courts intervened in the state and eliminated the state's gang management practice of indefinite isolation of gang leaders and forced the state to put gang leaders back into general population. As a result, maximum security prisons are more tense than they've ever been. The gang leaders were released from solitary confinement because liberal lawyers from Obama forced the state to disband the state's gang management practice of indefinite isolation. It's freaking out all the inmates themselves. They're afraid of their own prisons. It just shows you that liberalism, while it sounds good on paper, doesn't often work in reality the way it's supposed to work. Now, I want to play for you Obama in Laos, because he's over there putting America down. He said that Americans are too lazy to learn about other parts of the world, talking to his favorite third worlders over there with their colorful outfits. See, Obama's a typical liberal. He thinks that if they put their hands together and bow when they go into a restaurant or they wear a colorful cap on their head, that they're good people. He makes that fundamental mistake. Anyone who wears something that covers their neck or covers their head and has a shawl of some kind is a good person. This is called brainwashing. He's in his element, by the way. He looks very much at home. I only wish they'd invite him to stay there and become the president of Laos. That would be the nicest thing in the world. Maybe they can make him the honorary president of Laos. He would never put up with him again. But nevertheless, he's over there not only saying that, it gets even worse. He said that stressed Americans turn to racism. That's what he's telling people in Laos about you, that you're a bunch of louts and racist because you're under stress. But what's interesting about it, he says, it's because, he said, the faltering economy is causing the problems in American society. Well, who caused the faltering economy? He's the chief executive, isn't he? So he's over there saying, because of the faltering economy, things are getting harder and people are putting down minorities because of that. You hear this? It's unbelievable to me, the limits. There are no limits to the man's foolishness. He praised America's many food cuisines and music as a positive result of multiculturalism. I could say a few things about that. Did anyone go to an Afghani restaurant? Anybody go to an Iraqi restaurant recently? How about would you go into a Honduran restaurant in America, served by a Zika-infested waitress, for example? I don't think so. No, but the guy's nuts. To him, anything that's multicultural has an M on it is good. Do we have the soundbite, Robert? Is it ready yet? If not, I understand. Because I call for things in the middle of the show. He just did this. Let's hear it.
The challenge we have, because we are people from so many different places, is that sometimes, you know, we've had to deal with racism or conflict between races, ethnic groups, new immigrants.
Here we go.
And that especially becomes a problem when the economy is not doing well and so people feel stressed. And typically when people feel stressed, they turn on others who don't look like them.
Really? You mean it's not because you're flooding America with H-1B visa holders from third world countries in order to make sure that your supporters like Mark Fatsoberg, Mark Zuckerface can make more billions of dollars? I mean, there's no real problems at all. They keep bringing workers for lower wages, that's all. So there he is again, fanning the flames against Americans while he's on the road. All right, soon it'll be over. Let's go to WMAL on the death penalty issue, and you can join the conversation on the death penalty. Are you for ending the death penalty or speeding up executions? I'd like to hear what the people out there in the Savage Nation have to say about the death penalty, because the ballot initiative in California will be very clear. Do you want to end the death penalty completely and turn it into life without parole, and why? Or do you want to speed up executions for those condemned who have exhausted all of their appeals? Period, end of story. Brian, line 7, WMAL in Washington, what's your opinion?
Yeah, I think we should speed up the executions. It's necessary, it's biblical, it's constitutional. I have problems with both of the liberal arguments, that it's inhumane. It can be very humane. We have a solution that is economical, it's 100% lethal, it's easy to administer, and it's completely painless, and that's nitrous oxide. Deprive a human body of oxygen, it dies. Just like the gas chamber, positive pressure, remove the air, put in the nitrous oxide. The guy will laugh for a while before he expires.
Well, isn't that what they use in a dental office?
Yes, it's exactly the thing. It's laughing gas.
It's laughing gas. A lot of dentists in New York went to dental school just to get access to laughing gas.
Exactly. If you've ever been to one of those Grateful Dead shows, any of the open-air concerts, you'll see people running around with balloons. They buy a cylinder of it for $200 and then make almost $2,000. A friend of mine used to do it, selling balloons of it for $5 a clip. They called them whippets. A number of people had.
Why do so many people have to get high? What's wrong with their lives?
Well, you've seen what the Democrats and liberals have done to this country, and you have to ask that question.
All right, but you're saying that in a high dosage, laughing gas will kill you. That, I mean, your main point is it's more humane than the death row cocktail, the death cocktail being used now, right?
Only people with too much education can take thousands of dollars worth of sophisticated chemicals and screw up killing somebody when dropped out.
That's funny.
Extremely efficiently.
Yeah. And you know, all these lawyers from Berkeley and Harvard who are against the death penalty, who fight like heck to keep people alive who should have been exterminated 30 years ago for what they did to other people on this planet, are in favor of abortion, killing the unborn, the innocent unborn. Can you explain that to me?
I could live to be a million, and I could never explain that to you.
Why do they argue in favor of exterminating the unborn who are innocent and preserving the lives of those who are guilty, been found guilty, gone through appeal after appeal? Why do they do that?
I have no idea. And I know, I heard you reading that thing about the guy whose sentence had been commuted to life in prison who hung himself 5 days after that. I know why he did. He did not want to be there in prison for life. That's inhumane.
That's very interesting. So in other words, living on death row, not knowing if you'll actually be executed, is a reason to stay alive. Because you might just have your sentence commuted, or they may eliminate the death penalty. But once you know you're going to be in there forever, your life has no meaning anymore. That's very intriguing.
Oh, it's horrible. If I had did something to deserve death, there's no way I'd want that thing drug out on and on and on and on. It should be carried out quickly and, like I say, efficiently with something like nitrous oxide. It's very cheap. It's 100% lethal. It's completely painless. As I say, you put a man in a room.
I don't know if dentists use that the laughing gas anymore. I think it was all used up by New York dentists, the entire world supply. No, but in all seriousness, they use hypnotics now for anesthesia. I wouldn't let my dentist, by the way. I don't use hypnotics. You know why? The after effects are horrendous. You know that that hypnotics affect your memory for a long time afterwards? I do not let any dentist ever use hypnotics on me.
No, they...
People should be very aware of the fact that hypnotics cause a long, long, long period of amnesia. They may not understand that. These drugs are dangerous. I mean, there are other methods. I prefer, personally, in a dental chair, because I just had it done, I prefer anesthesia that's injected directly into the gum. I will not let them go directly to the brain with the hypnotics, as I say. My friends, I have something for you. Stay on the line. You've got some real great oxygen coming. I'm sending you Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama, my big, big and last political book coming out next Tuesday. In bookstores across America, it should be up front in all the major bookstores. And if it isn't, the Savage Army will let the clerks hear from them. I look forward to those first few days of publication when we get bookstore horror stories. When my army go in and they say, where's the book, Michael Savage's book, the Scorched Earth book? And then the clerk says, never heard of it. I like the reactions from my audience because the publisher paid for upfront the placement. And then they go in the back of the store and they find a stack of Scorched Earth underneath Jenny Has Three Mommies. In the lesbian feminist section of the bookstore, they find Scorched Earth under a stack of unopened cartons underneath Jenny Has Three Mommies. But that's the fun part of the show. Now we're going to go back to the regular show. Prison guards. The worst job in the whole world, the most difficult job in the world right now in California is being a prison guard. You don't know how hard that job is because the prisoners have rights that they don't have. If they do anything wrong, the guard's in trouble for the rest of his life. It's a nightmare job. And, you know, last week I was talking about extraordinarily high salaries in San Francisco. I mean, they were criminal. They were vulgar beyond belief. And I focused on a sheriff in San Francisco who made something like $250,000 a year in overtime. I couldn't believe it. So don't take that to mean that I oppose or I think it's absurd what sheriffs make who are prison guards. Don't take it the wrong way. This is a very difficult job, probably one of the worst jobs in America. I don't know how they do it since the entire legal system is lined up against them. But, I mean, having said that, I am also totally against inhumane treatment of prisoners. Because, but for the grace of God or one mistake in this country, any one of us can be a prisoner. Anybody listening to this show knows that this nation is so criminalized. There are so many ins and outs of the law and the laws that are on the books written by the most devious minds in the history of man. And the judges are so draconian that anyone listening to this show could wind up in prison in a very short order for a few things that they do wrong or one thing that they do wrong. Believe me, as it has been said, if the federal government wants to, they can indict a hamburger or they can indict a ham sandwich. So don't think I believe that the conditions for all prisoners should be worse. I would never, ever say that. Moreover, I actually want to talk about solitary confinement as well. I don't know how a human being lives through that. I don't know how a person cannot go insane in a solitary confinement situation. So I think these are topics that are worth talking about, if not completely today, then perhaps another time. But I would really like to hear from prison guards about solitary confinement, about what prisoners really think about the death penalty. And we'll do so the minute I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Which is not to walk on a tightrope, but to become the tightrope. Which you can walk on. My job is to be a tightrope that you walk on. I can keep going now about this. I'm in such a low quake. It must be the heat wave or something bringing out my extrasensory cellular energy in my brain. Here's a prison guard from Arkansas, Charlie, KFAY Radio. Fire away, Charlie. What's on your mind?
First of all, Dr. Savage, I'd like to preface what I have to say is that you remind me of my late brother who had an extremely high IQ. And I was always reminded that I was smart enough to know I wasn't that smart. That's why.
That means you're smarter than you pretend to be. So what's on your mind today?
I was a former prison guard in Oklahoma for 4 years, worked in a medium security, and then transferred to a work release where the inmates get out. That's their last step before getting out. But we had inmates in there that had their sentences commuted from life or from the death row to life and then eventually parole, and they got out.
And what was the bottom line? Were they in favor of the death penalty, all of them, or against it?
Some of them were, and they realized that they deserved to die, and the majority of the inmates that weren't on death row definitely were in favor of the death because of child molestation and rape and other...
Oh, okay, so the general pop is in favor of those on death row taking the needle. All right, my friend, Scorched Earth goes out to you. When I come back, we'll continue all these topics that I've started right here on the Scorched Earth Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
I have an announcement to make, and it's a good one. My new book, Scorched Earth, is now number one in politics on Amazon Books. That's right. You made it number one already in politics on Amazon because you pre-ordered the book to send the message to Washington and elsewhere. You went and ordered it and then sent an email of the order to scorchedearthbook@gmail.com, and you got a free MP3 of Donald Trump's 2011 interview with me. So thank you for doing that. Remember, Tuesday, the Savage Army has to go to work. Mark your calendars. So today, I look at the news on the Drudge Report, where I start every day. I just do. That's what I do. Headlines are very clear. Everyone does. Anyone in the business does. And I see something that I predicted. Russian fighter comes within 10 feet of U.S. Navy plane. I said, oh, God, no. Okay, then I look and I say, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? That happened already. Page 194 of the Prescient Scorched Earth. I write this, of course we don't know what might happen tomorrow. My gravest fear is that there'll be an accidental dogfight between Russia and the United States in the Middle East or elsewhere, like when their fighters buzzed our Navy in April 2016. A shootdown in these circumstances would be a nightmare for all of us. The way to avoid that is for Barry Obama to actually pay attention to the papers that cross his desk every morning, instead of planning his next visit to the golf course. Now, that's only the beginning of what I had to say, or have to say, in Scorched Earth. I then write this, and you've got to pay attention to this. Tell me if I'm wrong. Let's get down to brass tacks. What are we going to do about the situation, survival of the fittest? There was a time in Great Britain when Neville Chamberlain, a quisling leader, was in power right after Germany invaded Poland. Do you remember what he said before that invasion? Chamberlain came back from a meeting with Hitler and said that he had in his hand an agreement guaranteeing that England and Germany would never go to war again. He guaranteed peace for our time. Hip, hip, hooray. The very next day, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia, and the citizens of Great Britain realized that Chamberlain was a suicidal conservative who was going to destroy England. They needed a war leader. His own party voted him out. They replaced him with the great nationalist Winston Churchill. Do you remember the movie The Godfather? Tom Hagen says, Mike, why am I out? Michael Corleone says to him, you're not a wartime consigliere. Things may get tough with the move we're trying. You're out, Tom. Do you people not understand that sometimes art imitates life and teaches us lessons? Neville Chamberlain was not a wartime consigliere. Germany was on the move. Hitler was invading. Hitler had built up his military, even though they said he couldn't. And this weakling, this good-natured weakling, the pacifist, socialist, intellectual, came back with an agreement that he couldn't wipe his nose with as far as Hitler was concerned. So his own party got rid of that quisling English leader. That's the benefit of a parliamentary system. We don't have such a system here. But somewhere deep within the controlling elements of this government are those who actually run things. God only knows who they are. I could probably give you a short list of those who I think are really running things, but I'm not completely sure who they are. But even they, at a certain point, recognize that a nation can be destroyed from within, and they've gone too far by putting this maniac in the White House. The maniac has broken free of their controls, just as others in history have done, others who were first put into power by more powerful people before going rogue on them. It happened in Germany. It's not a direct comparison, but if you remember the history of Hitler, if you read about him, he didn't come to power on his own or in a vacuum. Very powerful industrialists backed him in the beginning. The Krupps, for example, who had been bankrupted after World War I, they were the main armaments manufacturer. They backed Hitler because they knew he'd be good for business. Dwight D. Eisenhower told us to beware the government military industrial complex. Remember? The same elements are present here in America. There are certain people who wanted Obama in office. Remember them? George Soros, John Kerry, Ted Kennedy when he was alive. They figured they could always control him. And now he's gotten so crazy that he's gone off the reservation. And I go into much more detail here, asking this key question. Can his own party remove Barry now that he's gone rogue? Because he's getting more brazen by the day. He's gone way beyond anything he ever dreamed he would ever be able to do to transform America. Everyone has a list of dreams. This guy has gone so far beyond everything he ever thought he could get away with that he's continuing down the path of such national destruction that it's now bordering on national suicide. I think even the Hillary camp may see that. And I've got to tell you something. It's all in scorched earth in this important chapter. Trump gave specifics today on how he's going to rebuild the military. It's important you listen to this on the Savage Nation. It's clip number 32 right now.
We will build a Marine Corps based on 36 battalions, which the Heritage Foundation notes is the minimum needed to deal with major contingencies. Right now, we only have 23. We will build a Navy of 350 surface ships and submarines, as recommended by the bipartisan National Defense Panel. We right now only have 276 ships, and it's not enough. And we will build an Air Force of at least 1,200 fighter aircraft, which the Heritage Foundation again has shown to be needed to execute current missions. We now have 1,113. Not enough.
You have a real choice coming up, a choice I made a long time ago because I knew the choice. I knew what it was, and I made a decision early on. I read things pretty quickly. I don't have to cogitate for 8 years to decide what's what. Now, the fact of the matter is Trump will rebuild the military. He'll rebuild this nation, and if she wins, the opposite will be true. She'll continue what Obama has started, which is to destroy the military and to destroy everything of value to traditional Americans. It's that simple. I don't have to make it more flowery than it is. We know who she is. We know what she stands for. Have you seen the aides around her? Have you taken a look at them? Do you know what they look like? They're your worst nightmare.